the glad salvation's free to all who will receive it. Glad that the news was brought to me when I was lost and sad. Praise his dear name, I can proclaim that truly I believe it. For I am now his child, I know, and I'm so glad. I am so glad that I can tell to wayward souls the story. Glad that by grace from day to day a helper I may be. Finding delight in service true, my soul is winning glory. Glory for him who gave his life to rescue me. I am so glad that all my heart to Jesus I have given. Glad that at eventide my soul true sheaves to him may bring. I will be true until with all the happy throng up in heaven, sweeter and nobler praise I give to Christ my King. Glory, honor be to his name forever. Never a greater friend the sinful race has had. I love him and praise him, Jesus the matchless Savior. He has redeemed this soul of mine, and I'm so glad.
Good morning and welcome to Holding Fast the Faithful Word, a radio ministry of Bible Way Baptist Church right here in the small town of Auburn. And this is Pastor Tim thanking you so much for tuning in to the program today. I really do appreciate you listening to the program. Last week we began our study on the doctrine of regeneration. And this is a study that I am currently doing on Sunday nights here at the church. And it is being received very well by the saints of God. There is much appreciation for digging into this, as we should. I get the impression, just from folks that I've talked to, both religious and non-religious, that the doctrines of soteriology, the doctrines of faith, are overlooked. They're bypassed. They're ignored. They're not studied out like they should be. And I believe that in these latter days, it is vitally important that we dig into what it means to be saved, to be born again. There's too much easy believism today in many circles, and I'm not picking on any one denomination. It's across the board. There's an easy believism, a 1, 2, 3, pray after me, raise your hand, walk an aisle, decisional regeneration, and there is a complete bypass to the work of the Holy Spirit in the whole process. And man has sort of inserted himself between the Holy Spirit and lost men. You know, I told my congregation on Sunday night that my prayer lately has been, God, help me to step out of the way. Help me not to be in the way of the Holy Spirit's work in dealing with people, both lost and saved. We've got too much pragmatism in churches today. They're in survival mode, and the compromise is incredible. And the compromise is there to try and fill up the pews under the impression that people will get saved. And the reality of it is, and many of these people only go to church to be entertained or amused. It's fun for them. It's an emotional, you know, lift, if you will. And there's a psychology behind a lot of what goes on today in many circles, in that psychology, that manipulation mentally, and I'm talking about manipulation, mentally gets in the way of the Holy Spirit. And people today think that they are born again when in reality they're not. And it's important to make the distinctions concerning the doctrines of soteriology. It's more than just saying, you know, you're saved. It's more than just that. There's a whole body of doctrine I talked about last week that accompanies that, and that must be discussed. It must be taught. It has to be addressed. It will make you a better Christian. It'll make you a better soul winner. You'll be a bit more conscientious when you're dealing with people. You know, and I realize to many that, you know, the desperation is there to see people get saved. So you pretty much take anything as, you know, truth in terms of their salvation. And in reality, they're not really saved. And then that creates further problems down the road. And we meet up a lot of these folks, as I've said before, in our outreaches, and people tell you they know Jesus, they're born again, and this whole thing here. And then when you ask them what it means to be regenerate, they don't have a clue what you're talking about. And then when you talk about being born again, to some, they're offended by that term. Oh, we're not one of those. Well, if you're not one of those, then you're not going to heaven. If you're not one of those, you're not saved. If you're not one of those, you're lost. If you're not one of those, you're unregenerate, and you're under the wrath of God, and you'll spend eternity in hell if you're not one of those. You know, and there are a lot of those folks out there, more and more, as liberalism continues to infiltrate churches and seminaries and so forth, that think everybody will be saved in the end, that everybody's a child of God. That's not the case at all. You're not a child of God until you've been born again and adopted into the family of God. If you have not been regenerated, if you have not been born again, you're not adopted into the family of God. You're not a child of God. You're a child of this world. You're a child of this world. You're walking according to the course of this world. You're lost. You have no hope of eternal life. You must be born again. And so that has been my emphasis here at the church on Sunday nights. And I wanted to just kind of review a little bit and then finish up on what I started last week before we get into the six, what I call the six essentials that follow a person being born again. Now, I realize this is not concrete. Somebody's going to say, well, wait a minute. Now, I can think of three more, and that's fine if you can. Write them down. Write down the things that you believe must be essential following regeneration or following a new birth. Now, last week, I talked about being born of the Spirit, born of God, being made a new creature, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Talked about washing of regeneration, just in mention only, Titus 3:5. Talked about the new man mentioned in Colossians chapter 3. And then I went into the necessity of regeneration. And the first and foremost is man's heart is desperately wicked. Man's heart is depraved. And we're going to talk about it. One of the essentials, we're going to talk about being born again. And that necessity is there because man is dead, trespasses and sins. Man's heart is totally depraved. Now, some of you are going to say, well, wait a minute now. Wait a minute now. You can't say that it's totally depraved. Why can't I? If the Bible says that man's heart is desperately wicked, who can know it? And who am I to say that there's any goodness in man's heart? It, as far as goodness that is acceptable in the eyes of God, the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. That's what the Bible says. Man's tendencies, because of his depraved nature, will always drift away from or move away from the things of God, the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the Son of God, the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, the commands of God, the law of God, the Word of God. And if you don't believe me, then go out and share the gospel. Go out with your pastor. Go to the city hall or wherever it is that you live, the place where people gather. And talk to people about the Lord. Talk to them about being born again. Talk to them about sin. Talk about heaven and hell. Talk about the social pollution, the cultural upheaval that is going on today with same-sex marriage and gender confusion and all of that. And tell them that God has a right way. God has a perfect way. God has a pure way. God has a holy way. God has a righteous way. Go ahead and talk to them and watch the reaction. And people will get bent out of shape, get their socks in a bunch, because you're being intolerant, because you're being a bigot, because you're being critical and judgmental. Reality is, you're not. You're being faithful to the Word of God. They're only doing what they can because of the depraved nature of their heart. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'll begin here in verse number 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us. Church of Corinth, Paul's including himself in the equation here. God has revealed some things to the church at Corinth to Paul. How? How were the things of God revealed to the church, to the apostles? By His Spirit, the Holy Spirit. You know, the contest in the world today from the agnostics, the atheists, and rationalists, and the anti-Christian and anti-religion group, they're never going to get it. This is the part that we get frustrated with, because we're trying to deal with people. People are indifferent, or they're hostile to the things of God. We scratch our heads. How could anybody hate the Lord? Well, that's because you've been born again. That's because you've been saved by grace through faith. That's because you understand the nature to a degree, maybe less, maybe more, of the atonement of Jesus Christ. You understand those things because the Holy Spirit resides within you, and the Holy Spirit leads and guides us unto all truth. Now notice, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. All things. No stone is left unturned. And as a child of God, as a regenerate, born-again, Bible-believing Christian, it is our duty, spiritually speaking, to search out these matters. Not just to take things at face value, particularly when it comes to salvation, when it comes to the doctrines of soteriology. Don't relegate it to one particular group. Don't say, "Whoa, Pastor Tim, you know, that's very Calvinistic thinking. That's ridiculous." Justification by faith is not Calvinistic theology. Talking about man's depravity is not Calvinistic theology. That's absolutely ludicrous to come up with that kind of a statement. You know, people start pigeonholing folks because of their denomination, and you got to put some of that stuff aside and just take the word for what it is. And never mind what, you know, "Well, that can't believe this, or we can't talk about it. And that can't believe that, so we can't mention that word." I have no problem talking about the doctrine of predestination because it's a biblical doctrine. But people won't talk about those things because they're worried about being associated with a particular group. Grow up. Study your Bible out. Study out what those terms mean. You've got the Holy Spirit of God in you. It's your duty to do that. Now, verse 11. "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." And again, it bears repeating here that you can't know the things of God until you have the Holy Spirit in you. And this is where that divide continues to widen between saved people, born again, regenerate, and those that are unregenerate. We know things about God that an unregenerate person can't, because of the Holy Spirit. We cannot minimize the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in the world. We can't do that, and yet it does happen. The Holy Spirit seems to get pushed off to the side, and man kind of steps up and says, "Hey, watch what I can do." Step aside. Let the Holy Spirit do His work. Now, there are things that we know that they can't. We have the comfort and hope of eternal life. We have the very words of faith here in the Word of God. We have precious promises that we are anchored to. We have a precious Savior who died for our sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day, and we know this. We have confidence and conviction based on what the Word of God says concerning our sin, God's grace toward us, forgiveness, justification, glorification, even sanctification, and so on. We understand how the world and the heavens were created because we have the Holy Spirit of God showing us, validating biblical truth concerning our God as Creator. Now, in verse number 12, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world." See that? There's a spirit in this world. There's a spirit also which is of God. "And that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." There's a spirit in this world. It's not a good one. It's a spirit of Antichrist. And 1 John talks about that. Spirit of Antichrist. The many Antichrists in the world. Lost, unregenerate people hate the things of God. That's the spirit in this world. The unregenerate hate purity and morality. They redefine it on their own terms. It's ebb and flow. Fluctuates. But God's character, God's nature, God's holiness, God's righteousness is immutable, which is to say it is unchangeable. God is the perfect standard for holiness. God is the perfect standard for righteousness and truth and mercy and love and grace. God is. God wants us to know the things that have been freely given to us. And the only way we can know that is through the new birth. And look what it says here in the text. That are freely given to us of God. Romans 6:23 says, wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That gift of salvation, that gift of the new birth, was freely given to you and I. God didn't charge us for it. God does not expect payment for it. You couldn't work for it. You could live 1,000 lifetimes and never, never pay for it. All that the law can do is create more debt. That's all the law can do. You know, folks are constantly caught up in this whole thing about works. I got to get baptized in order to be saved. I've got to work. I've got to serve. I got to do this. I got to stay in the good graces of God. What a terrible way to live. God saved you through the Holy Spirit and gave you eternal life. And look what it says here in Romans chapter 4, and I'll just begin in verse number 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. If Abraham were justified by works, then he could only glory in himself. Not before God, because that's not God's standard. Verse 3, for what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned, but of grace, reckoned of grace, but of debt. So if you're one of those that wants to work and work and work and try to keep yourself saved, all you're going to do is keep building that debt, building that debt, building that debt more and more and more. Freely given to us of God. Then verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So the natural thing here, and going back to my initial premise with this message, in regeneration as Christians, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. We do judge things. We are critical of some things. And that's just to develop and cultivate a spirit of discernment. In regeneration, we want to make sure. The Bible says, first and foremost, examine yourselves. You examine yourself. Have you been born again? And Lord willing, as you follow along in this study, you'll be able to look at the different things that I'm going to list and say, yep, I got that, I got that. Yeah, okay, everything's good there. I know I'm not living a perfect life, but those things I can agree with. I don't have an issue with that. You know, we take for granted, because somebody, you know, comes from a seminary, we say, oh, they must be, you know, top-notch theologians, and we can trust them, you know, with everything. And the reality of it is you can't. Now, Paul was a top-notch theologian. Nobody would question Paul's credentials. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a learned man. And yet the Bereans searched the Scriptures daily to see if Paul said was true. And they used the spirit of discernment. Verse 14. Now notice what it says here in verse number 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man. Now we're talking about man's heart, desperately wicked. We're talking about man's heart being depraved or spiritually dead. Man is out there. Just kind of wandering off in that universe of lostness, if I can make something up there. He has no hope of eternal life but through the Lord Jesus Christ. You come along and you start opening up the Bible and you start opening up the Scriptures and start sharing the gospel, And in most cases, that man is probably going to look at you and say, what a fool. I don't buy into religion. I don't believe it. And they come up with all kinds of excuses. And at the same time, they don't understand why you pray. They don't understand why you go to church. They don't understand why you believe that book you're holding in your lap. They don't understand why you go on mission trips or go out to plant a church or live a very disciplined life as far as your morals are concerned and ethics are concerned. No drinking, no smoking, no fornicating, no adultery, no gambling. Living a clean life before God and before men. The natural man receiveth not those things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You know, this is the byproduct of a man who has an unregenerate heart. You know, sometimes when we engage in gospel outreach or preach, you know, to people that we know, whether it's our neighbors or coworkers, family, what have you, they look at you and they think everything that you're saying is foolishness. Because the spirit of the world has convinced them that your religion, Christianity, is foolish. They can't know the things that you know. They are hindered and blinded by the god of this world. And the only thing that's going to break them and anyone else free from that is the Holy Spirit through the process of regeneration, opening their hearts to the truth. Now, I understand the love of Christ draws people to him. I get it. When the gospel is presented, boy, I tell you, that speaks volumes. But even in today's day and age, with the influence of rationalism, skepticism, agnosticism, atheism, militant atheism, whatever you want to call it, more and more today, there's literature coming out, books being written, supposed research being done, and arguments and everything else, even casting doubt on the historicity of Jesus Christ. Even though there is documentation that Jesus did in fact live, both internally as far as the Word of God is concerned and externally, the records that bear witness to the life and times of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You say, that would never happen in my lifetime, preacher. No way. I'm telling you right now that it is happening, that these debates are now taking place, and more people are buying into the spirit of this world. They're buying into it hook, line, and sinker. And the only thing that can free them from that is the new birth, to be born again or to be regenerated. That's it. Other than that, they are without hope, they are without Christ, and they are without God in this world. They are in a very bad way. And we ought to be praying as a people of God for their salvation. We ought to be faithful in engaging in gospel outreach. Now, look, everybody says, well, you know, I can't go door to door and I can't do street ministry. And is there something you can do? You know, it's funny, people make up excuses on why they can't do a thing rather than find an excuse to do a thing. You know, I know folks that are not comfortable going door to door. Okay, what else can you do? Oh, I can give away an invitation to our church, then do it. I can give a tract to my coworker, then do it. Be faithful in doing that. If that's what you believe that you're called to do, if that's the only thing you think you can do, then do that. Engage the world, even if it's on a piece of paper. Engage them. Invite them to church. Invite them to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Pray that the Holy Spirit will break through those hardened hearts. You know, the Holy Spirit reproves the world of sin. You know, we've got to get back to a place where there's a Holy Spirit dependence and a faithfulness to the Great Commission. And as I stated at the beginning of this message, we need to be less complicated in our services, less complicated in our methods. Methods can weigh a person down. They can bog a church down. They can frustrate many individuals and tap into resources that could be used in other areas. Be careful of those things. Focus on the work of the Holy Spirit in regeneration. And be faithful to the gospel commission. That is something that everybody's called to. It's not a matter of, and I've heard this over the years, I'm not called to that. Well, actually, if you're a born-again Christian, yes, you are. And someday you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and you're going to have to answer for your service here on earth. So it is time now to bring this message to a close. Be sure to tune in next week as we continue our lessons on regeneration, our study on regeneration. If you're looking for information on the church, check out our website at BibleWayBC.org. Take care, and may the Lord Jesus Christ richly bless you and yours.